Thank you. And I've already had other people tell me they're going to walk out on me. Can you hear me good?
Just one
ever. Yeah, relax. That's the name of the game. First off, I would like to thank certain people praying with me this week. I have certain people I shoot messages to when I know I'm going to share on Sunday, just to help me along. Because I stand here and I think of my dad. What a set of footsteps, man. And that's what tears me up about. I step here and I really do that intentionally because I'm thinking, man, I'm standing where my dad stood. But thank you for those prayers. And this morning, I'm going to be looking in Hebrews. I'm going to be looking in Numbers. I'm going to jump over to Genesis, and then I'm going to take you back to Hebrews. So we're going to jump all over the place. So first off, I was looking. I never look for a certain starting point, but I'm coming along. And then in Hebrews 8:9, it says, I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And so I think about that as God's leading them out of captivity. He took them by the hand. It's a personal touch there. And I start looking at it from that perspective. So, of course, I have Gavin with me. And when I go somewhere, right, I'm walking along, and I think about him being with me and how I lead him around. He doesn't see what I see, right? And I'm watching because I'm protecting that kid. And I'm telling you, man, I eye some people up. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, you're looking in the wrong direction, you know? I'm protecting that kid at all costs. You know that God protects you just like that at all costs. Even more so. He sees things you don't even see. As Gavin's hopping along, think he's hopping and bebopping and looking. He's seeing stuff. Hey, Dad, look here, look here, look here, right? That's how we should be in the hands of God. Trust Him to lead you. Don't be worried about all the nonsense, right? Trust Him. And I'm going to ask you this morning that we walk along. And that God leads us into the direction that He wants us to go. Trust in His hand, not old Ricky Baker. Trust in the Lord's hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that this we get a chance to stand, as I said, in my own Father's footsteps here. But that we can lift up the name of Christ. It's because of Him. It's the only reason why I stand here or anybody's even in this building. He draws us in. And we thank You. You want to dwell within our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to take my time. I am going to try to stroll. And I was thinking of Al walking in here this morning. He was slow, but every step was steady, wasn't it? Sure step. Every step was sure. We're going to walk like that this morning. I am sure of what I'm sharing with you today. I'm sure. So I was just reading along in Numbers. Numbers 16, chapter 16. If you want to look at that, we'll jump in there if I can find it this morning. Wherever it is in here, I'll have to look in the front, I'm sure. There it is. And I'm just reading. I don't even know why I was reading the Old Testament. I don't have any reason why I jumped in there and read it. I have, you know, no clue. I'm just reading along. And so I start reading, and then we have in the beginning, and I know I don't say these guys' names right or the groups right. K-O-H-T-H. How do you say his name? Kohan, Kohath, Darthum, and Abram. Am I saying it close to right? Doesn't matter, does it? Right? And so those groups of men, we see that those groups of people and the tribes and people, this has to do with the congregation of Israel, the group of Israel. They're out in the wilderness now, and they have the tabernacle has been built. and it's up and running and all that, and they have it all set up. And I have this perfect model that my mom built at home on my table. And I'm walking around that, and it really helped me be able to see what was going on in here and how that tabernacle was set up. And so these people, they come up before Moses. Let me read just a little bit of it. 16. Now Korin and the son of Izhar, the son of Gohath, and the son of Levi, and the son of Dothan, the sons and the sons and sons. I don't know how to pronounce their names. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, the Lord is among them. Wherefore, why you lift yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Well, I read that and I'm like, wow, that's pretty wild. They are challenging Moses and Aaron. And I got thinking on that point about here they are. Moses leads them out, helps lead them out. I gotta stop. I actually enjoyed doing the Bible study of this stuff. And then, so they're complaining to him. They're complaining, saying, "What are you doing? Who do you think you are?" Read it. I read it over and over and over, and they're asking them questions. You know, like, you know, "Who do you think you are? How come you raise yourself above?" Right? And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty wild. They're challenging these guys, right? So I had to find out what these, who they did. What was their jobs? What were they doing there? Why are they complaining? Why do they want to be like the high priest or like Moses and Aaron and be in their positions? They're trying to take their positions away. I thought, how about that? Do I ever want to step on anybody's toes and want to get their position? Do I ever want to be the big shot? Do I ever want to be that guy? Do I ever want to try to push somebody out of a position that they're called to be in, that's their job? I thought, that's amazing. God has called that. So there's an order. I started looking at this order of stuff, and I'm thinking, that's amazing. So they're challenging them, right? And so they say that to Moses, and they say it to Aaron, and then 16:4, Moses falls upon his face, and he starts pleading with them. He starts talking to them, right, about what they're doing. Well, we see, that here he is. And I'm not getting this right. I'm aggravated with myself for a second. I need to slow myself down. This is cool. So they start doing it. And the questions that they ask him, I can't get off that question for some reason. And I need to stop. Lord, I need your help this morning. I need this to be clear as a bell, that your authority, your order, is what we need here this morning. And Lord, just take my mind, clear it from the nonsense, and that we can lift up your name. Lord, I thank you that we have this good group that is willing to listen here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Back at it. And that's the nice thing about being here. You don't have to be uncomfortable. You don't have to feel intimidated. You don't have to feel any of those things. That's the beauty of standing here. It really is. I don't feel a bit challenged by anybody. You know, and I just, the challenge is within me that I get it right. And I go crazy over this point. And this is my struggle. This is why I get people to pray with me, so I can get that thought straight in line. So Moses and Aaron, and they're challenging them, and they're doing all these things, and they're saying, "What are you doing?" So Moses says to them, "Well, look, you all bring your censers and come tomorrow, and we'll meet at the tabernacle, and we'll all gather together, and we'll have a congregation, and we'll all meet, and God will show you who will bless who, and God will show you who's, you know, who is who, and all that." And so they're really challenged. Some of them don't even want to talk to Moses. They're like, "No, we don't even want to come. We're not going to be bothered." Right? And then you read other stories, all right, we'll come. And then there's 250 men that are going to come that are going to bring their censers with them. Censers with incense in them, and they're made out of bronze, and they're going to come, and they're going to be part of this group, and they're going to challenge the whole idea of Moses and Aaron, right? And so they come in the next morning, and they all gather together. And the sons of Korah, Dathan, the sons of Levi, Right? And I'm thinking back to the point of where I wanted to go was, what did the Levites do? Right? Well, they had a great job. Right? They carried and sanctified vessels in the tabernacle. They would actually keep people from coming to the place too soon so they couldn't get inside so they wouldn't be killed by God. They actually, that was part of their job. They were playing a safety net for the regular congregation. That's what they did. So the Levites were important. They had important jobs, but they weren't happy with that. They wanted to bump Moses and Aaron out of the way. They even served as an honor guard, gatekeepers, musicians of the temple. They even got to minister to other people. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, these guys even get to speak. You know, they get to talk and they minister. However they minister, did they serve things, if they did this. But they were in service that God had placed them in. So there's an order. These Levites were doing their thing, and Moses was doing what he had to do. And they're starting to challenge Moses. And they're doing all these different things. And I'm thinking, why are they wanting to challenge? What's the problem here? Why do we have a problem, right? And we have, what do we got in here? We have elders in here. We have deacons in here, right? And I got to think about some of them guys wanting to take over. How about one of them going to, yeah, I want to kick Lex out, you know, I want to kill Phil out. I want his job, right? They probably would step down. I don't know. Truth be told. But, you know, see, I got thinking of it like that, right? And I'm thinking, hey, you know, these guys. But here it is in Psalms 106. It says, they envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron. They envied them. They envied their position. They were mad with Moses. They wanted, now think about that. I'm thinking, you know, they wanted to move them out of camp. They wanted to take over. They even started complaining about being in the wilderness after they'd been led by the hand of God out of captivity. Do you ever want to go back to your old lifestyle? I know I don't. We know we don't. You know what I mean? Not that I'm perfect now, but I don't want to go live back there. You can believe that. You know what I mean? So here they are wanting to argue. And some of them, let's leave. Yeah, we'll get a couple groups together and we'll go back. That's back further. They did that in two chapters before. And I'm thinking, man, that's amazing. That's what they were trying to do. So they did that. So we see all these different things going on. And we see that they had envy in their hearts and all that kind of stuff. And what did Moses and Aaron do when they were challenging them? They fell down on their face before God. Right? And I'm thinking, if you challenge me, I'm probably going to argue with you. I'm probably going, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? I'm probably going to be aggressive, you know? And so during the study, I'm doing this, and I had a disagreement with a guy the other day at work about some stuff, right? So my approach would be normally to be nasty about it. Yeah, you're thinking this stuff. Wait a minute. Aaron and Moses fell down before a congregation that they let out, and they knew God's order because they were called by God to be in that position. Right? And they knew that. And the Levites were supposed to be like that. And they said, God, please have mercy on them. God, please have mercy on them. So I stood there and I talked to the guy. And I mean, I didn't lose my cool. I actually started laughing. I even was telling Kathy about how funny I felt it was that I didn't lose my cool at all. And those that know me, Matt and that little group over there, I can tend to lose my head quick. You know, over dumb stuff too. It's usually really dumb. But there we see that the order of things. I'm going, wow, there's an order here. There's really an order. You know, that God had placed in the together. But I love that they fell down before God and said, God, don't destroy them. Don't destroy them. Because the next day when they all get together, right, when we read it around 20, I think it's 19 or 20. Let me read 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation. Can't even see it. Gathered all the congregation unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. The glory of the Lord appeared to everyone. Right or wrong, order or not, following the whatever, God appeared to everyone. The glory of the Lord appeared. How that looked, I don't know 100%. You can talk to your scholars on that. But he appeared to them. And he showed up. Right? And the next thing he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. They didn't speak to the Levites and tell everybody else. He spoke to Moses and Aaron. I'm going, there's that order again. God speaking to someone. God speaking that, right? And so they had a little bit of the heart of the Lord. Because they're willing to bow down and say, God, forgive them. And God says to them, what did he say? Separate yourselves from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment. There's God. He's fired up. He says, I'm going to consume them in a moment. Some say instantly. Now, you see these people are murmuring and they're hollering and they're crying and they're doing all this kind of stuff. They're complaining against God. So later on in the story, we see where he swallows them up. It says in the story, God actually opens the earth and swallows them up. So here's all these people moaning, groaning, crying, and complaining. And what, in the next verse, I'm glad my head got into it. And their faces, and then Moses, separate yourself, right? Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces again, and the spirit of the flesh. And he said, Lord, Moses said unto the Lord, do you want to do this? Don't do this for the sin of one man. Not for one guy. Not for one person. Now, I might have my reading in order, but I know it's there. Right? And so that's what he says to him. Right? And he's falling down. He's doing that. And he swallows them up. But well, my point is that I want to make on this thing is, these are God's people. See, I went around and asking people, what do you think if God swallowed up a certain group? And everybody would say, oh yeah, this group needs to be swallowed up. This group, and I did. I asked a lot of different people. People, I said, look, I'm reading this story. They might not even been believers. It doesn't matter to me. I'm reading it. And I go, what do you think about this story where God swallowed people up? Man, that group over there really needs to be. No one person said, I need to be swallowed up. I thought, wow. You know what I mean? Is there something in me that needs to be swallowed up? And I started looking at that, right? But that scripture there says that. And nobody, these are God's chosen people. The problem's in the building. The problem's in the believer. The problem is in his followers. The problem in this story is with his own chosen ones. Not outsiders. Not that group that's being whatever they're being, right? Not this other group. The inside. The Levites, the people that work in the building, the people that gather in that building, the people that worked and built that tabernacle, the people that came out of captivity. The problem's in the church. The problem's in the person, like in the Jews. I'm like, wow, that's pretty wild. I'm reading the scripture. Wait a minute, what? Do I need stuff that needs to be swallowed up? Do I have things in my heart that need to be taken out? Do I need to bow down for a guy that I don't even like and say, God, forgive him? Do I need to be doing that? Does the church need to be bowing down? God, help him. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? Because I'm the first guy to argue with you. I'm not the guy of order. I don't know nothing about order. I'm going, oh, man, how good is that? So there I am. I'm in that. And there I am dealing with that guy, right? And I'm seeing these things. And there's God. And then we see that. But the great part about it, later on, he does swallow them up. Right? And he does. It shows that he swallows them up. And then there's those 250 men that had the censers. He immediately burns them. They die instantly. I'm like, man, now he's burnt these guys up. I'm telling you a story because I'm reading it to myself in my back room going, you got to be kidding. I go walking out in the other room and tell Kathy, do you hear what God just did? Can you believe he did that? What kind of book is this? Where's his grace? Where's his mercy? Because we live under Christ. Or we'd be consumed today. My dad would tell me, Rick, it's because of his great grace is the only reason why we exist today. I'm like, man, you're right, Dad. I'm reading this going, Dad, you're right. It's no different. It might be, I don't know, how long was this before Christ? I don't know how many years, right? But before Christ's time, we're seeing the same thing happen today. People are questioning authority. People are attacking authority. Authority, you know what I mean? Even if it's a good authority, people are attacking it. You know, good brothers and sisters are being attacked and have been called by God to be ministers. Amazing. Consumes them up. But what I like about that is that we see that and so they go on and do the thing and they swallow them up and God kills them. And then there's 250 men, right? And then there's censers that they have, right? God says, go take those censers and beat them. Take those censers, beat those brass plates, beat them, straighten them, flatten them out, and put them on the altar. What? Now the 250 guys, he just burn up. He wants to use their censers and place on the altar where they have all the sacrifices, where your sins are taken or washed away. However they did it back then, they had to have so many sacrifices for whatever your sin was. I don't know the details of that exactly. You guys get that, right? But I do know that's what it was for. So then he takes those plates and puts them on the altar, and he says in here, as a reminder to the congregation of what the Lord had done. So there I am. Then I start looking into the size of the altar that they have, how big it is, and what's it made out of. And I got crazy with that. And then I'm thinking, well, what about the cross? I started looking at the cross. And I'm thinking, well, how the cross is made? Is there any brass on it? Is there anything hanging up there as a reminder of what the Lord has done? And I'm thinking about the sacrifices, and I'm thinking about all this stuff. And so I start chasing the cross. And there's some guys think they actually have nails from the cross. They think they actually do. I don't know. It's just something I read. I don't know if they do or not. I'm saying they probably don't. But they're saying they have the actual nails, and it was made out of this. And I was thinking that maybe there were some brass nails, and maybe they did something. I'm trying to put the brass that's on the altar on the cross, right? Because I'm trying to say, well, that's where he sacrificed them, right? So it's got to be on the cross. And then I go, oh, no. Doesn't matter about that brass. It is a remembrance of what God has done. I got some things. How about anger in my life? Could I put it on the cross where Christ hung? It's not about what's hanging on. It's who's hanging on the cross. It's not about the shape, the nails. It's nothing. It's about who hung. It was the sacrifice that was pure. And they used pure sacrifices back there. And they'd come and they'd go, wow, remember brother so-and-so. And there's 250 men. And we sacrificed. And I started seeing God's grace in the Old Testament. I'm going, what? You got to be kidding me. How can that be? And how can it be? Because I got to go to here. Is that there's 250 men, and they did that. I think it's amazing that they burnt those. That God would use something like that. But he even says, because they came with an incense unto me. They came carrying stuff, and he burned them up anyway. They were so out of line. These were men of renowned, known people in the Jewish community. These were guys that were part of what was happening. They questioned God's authority. I thought, wow, that's wild. And that's amazing stuff. So then we go in there and we see. Now I want to do a couple verses out of Psalms, right? Because the Psalms, there's a bunch of Psalms that the sons that were there of Korah, however you say it, there's sons of them that wrote some of the Psalms, like 8 or 11 of them, right? So I'm thinking, wow, people that saw their family consumed. Now, it might not have been the actual son. It could have been the grandson or the great-grandson that wrote, I can't prove either one, right, that wrote those, but they were the sons of them. So it's the generation. Now, in our lives, we've had some stuff I would call big consuming that we didn't know what was happening. And I think of Grant dying. Me and Matt, that was hard on me and Matt. Right? A big hole, something swallowed up. How can we ever see God in such a thing? How can we ever lift up the name of Christ when you had tragedy in your life? Now those sons, I got to talk about that because those sons wrote part of the Psalms later on. Because that story gets passed down. Matt knows it well, man. That was hard on him, Matt. Still is, everybody. And that was a tough time for Matt. Right? That hole that he felt in his life. That hole that it was dug. I mean, it was there, man. Grant was swallowed up from us. Right? And we're going, wow, what do we do? How do we come up out of that? How can we ever sing the praises of the Lord again? How can that be? Grant, Christ, and Christmas forever linked is what we came up with on that Christmas day. He's forever to be with the Lord. The angels were rejoicing that day for someone coming into heaven. How about that? There is things we need to look to. When there's tragedy in your life, there's things to look to. So these ones, Psalms 46, I got to read it. Somebody, do you have it real quick? Because it take me a while to find it. I got it. Psalms 46. This is from some of the family that was there at the time the ground was swallowed up. Remember that. They're swallowed up. A whole bunch of them. And what I like about that, when after Moses and Aaron got down before God and said, please don't destroy them all. God says, okay, go to the congregation and tell them to get away. Run away from those evil people. Right? And they, what I like, he said, don't touch one thing. God even instructed, talking about order, don't even touch one thing that they have in their tent or around their house, or you will be consumed also. And they started running. They're hollering, don't swallow us up. Don't swallow us up. They actually were running. God's mercy gave them a chance, didn't it? Every one of them could have ran. Every one of them could have ran. Every one of them could have changed their mind. No doubt in my mind. And so these sons, and here's what they wrote. Earth shook. Things changed. People swallowed up. People got burned up. Those censers are put on the altar. It's amazing. Here's what they wrote. God is our refuge and our strength. This is family of the people that were swallowed up. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. They were there. They're passed down, generation. Passed down, generation. Gavin, right now, I can talk to you about Grant. Never saw him. Never laid eyes on him. But he'll say to you sometimes, man, I wish he was still around. Right? And then we go to scriptures. God is our refuge. How'd you make it, Dad? God is our strength. How'd that happen? Well, what went on? Can you tell me? And then we'll say, well, we trust in him no matter what happens. On the level of earth, God's in control. We'll never forget that stuff. And then Psalms 47. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Right? For the Lord, he is a king over all the earth. There they are, back to that, talking about the earth. There they are. How can they not speak about the earth? How can they not bring it up? Their families were swallowed up. And God showed mercy in a way where they can still sing praises unto God. You all have had tragedies, and I bet you can still sing praises to God for what's happened in that time. So I'm desperately chasing order of stuff. Sons of Korea, got that. So we'll go jump over to Hebrews 5:5. So also, and I'm looking and I'm chasing the word order through the Bible, just so you know how I got to this point. And just so I make it clear, some of my critics that give me a hard time when I'm done said, Rick, you need to slow down and tell us more how you got to where you were. You jumped to the end too quick, right? So I had three or four people tell it to me. I love it because this tickles me. I'm like, yeah, I'll show you. I'll go faster next time. And then so I started chasing through the Bible the word order. I'm like, where's, you know, it's not a whole lot. Doesn't say it. But I saw order in how they challenged Moses. And I saw what the Levites did. They had an order, how they built that tabernacle. Like I was saying, that tabernacle was sitting on my table at home. My mom made the scale. Every little thing written out, what it was. And where they met at the congregation of that gate is so cool, because I was sitting there last night looking at it going, wow, they came right there to meet right before where the sacrifices happened. They wanted to meet right at that gate and challenge them. God said, don't mess with my order stuff. Don't mess with it, man. So I started chasing order. So also, Christ did not glorify himself. Christ did not glorify himself. Now think about Aaron and Moses and those people who are trying to challenge to get their position. They wanted more glory. I want to be on top. I want to be the main man. I want to be in charge. Christ says, I did not. Also, Christ did not want to glorify himself. So to become a priest. But he who said to him, ye are my son, today I've begotten you. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And I go, oh man, there's my order word. Yes, I needed an order word. And I went, yeah, here we go. Melchizedek. Well, what's that guy got to do with anything? He's way back in the Old Testament. Now, here I am in Hebrews reading. And I got to run back over here and chase this. So, all right, Lord, let's roll. I'll march back to the Old Testament. I'll walk. Lead me to where we need to go. Where are we going with this? And then so I go on back and I find some scriptures on Melchizedek in Genesis 14. And it's just one. There's not a lot about it. But it goes back in there and it talks about, and there's this war of kings. And these kings are gathering up. Some of them group up and they go over and they kill these guys. And they're fighting over here and they're doing all these things. And Abraham, he was Abram then. I don't know when he changed to Abraham. But he was Abram. And then he's involved and they're trying to get Lot back and they're doing all this stuff. And right in the middle of all those wars, there's this sentence that says, in the town of Smittim or something, there's tar pits. Well, what's that got to do with the war? Right in the middle of all this stuff, there's one little sentence that says that. And that's where people started getting caught up in. First thing I thought was a sticky situation. You ever mess with tar, how sticky it gets? That's the first thing I thought. And here we have these wars going around. Some of them guys would go that way and get caught up. And that's how part of how Abram was able to get Lot back. And he got all the goods and stuff from Sodom and Gomorrah. How about that? And I'm thinking, wow, look at all the stuff that's happening through that. But here comes Melchizedek. He shows up on the scene. He's a king. Right? King of the Most High God. And he comes with a communion. He was bringing bread and wine. I went, really? That's pretty wild. So here comes this guy. He's the king. Right? And he's the king and he's serving someone else. Christ in the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek, his first appearance back here, he's serving people. He's coming as a king. Here, I bring bread and I bring wine. We're going to have communion because Abraham got his lot back. He's got all these spoils and he gives the spoils to him. He says, here's 10% of all this stuff. I think it's where they got all the 10% from church. I don't know. But my dad says, give it all. And then so that's what they did there. And so I thought about that. So then I had to jump and find out. I'm going to take you one more run and then I won't be long. Are we good? All right, then we're going to jump up here to, we see, and I don't want to miss any of this stuff. The wars, I got that. I got the tar pits, how they got captured and caught up in that. Then we go back to Hebrews 7, if we can just for a second. Let's check that out. And I can stay, we'll stay right here now. Are you guys with me? Are you getting my point? You see how that these guys all bow down? Moses and Aaron, people are fighting them. They bow down, right? The king comes out of nowhere. He's bringing sacrifice. He's bringing communion, breaking bread, right? I'm looking. There's the heart of Christ. There's that feel. You know what I mean? Because I don't have that. I'm not an order. I really would argue over you with stuff. I'm so quick sometimes I can't even believe in my own self. I was talking to my sister about it the other day. Sometimes I just answer just like that and walk off. No communion, no nothing. Just aggravated Rick. And then you see these people who are in leadership that are bowing down for others. Well, that's the heart of God. He didn't do this just so you be some God up here. Man, he came down. He brought his son down on this earth. Hebrews 7. No, yes, Hebrews 7. I don't know if I can find it. This is my good old study Bible, man. I like this thing. I don't know where it is. But they, so in Hebrews, it comes in there and starts explaining who Melchizedek is, right? His name is King of,
Verse
11. Verse 11? Yeah, his name is, he is Most High, and he is the, his name is interpreted King of Righteousness. This is Melchizedek. Now remember, Christ is in the order of Melchizedek, right? Then he's King of what? Salem, which is, means King of Peace. So now we have this guy who's King of Peace, King of Righteousness. Well, there's no problem for me to jump from there to jumping into who Christ is, right? In the order of Melchizedek. And so some people actually think this was Christ that showed up somehow way back in the Old Testament. Some people think that. I read all this stuff about who they thought Melchizedek. I'm not going there. I'm sticking with who we know Christ is. I'm not going to go to that because I don't understand it, right? So then we start looking at Christ is, and somebody said it earlier, in Matthew 22, where is he that is born the King of Jews? For we saw his star in the east. We know he's born now. Amen. The King of Peace, the King of Righteousness is now on earth. right? And I started looking, wow, we go from all this slaughter stuff. How did I end up way back in here to see in the Lord? But we see His mercy come out. We see grace coming out of that swallowing up and that killing the stuff. And the stuff that's put on the altar, the bronze that's put there. That's showing God's mercy. Everybody wasn't wiped out. We're not wiped out for our forefathers' sins. A lot of people think, well, my grandfather did this, so I can't be. It's not true. Somebody might have made a mistake in your life, but that doesn't change your relationship with Christ. It doesn't make you not saved. It doesn't make you not be able to have the bounty of the Lord Jesus. Because a lot of times you hear that, well, I was brought up like this. Well, that can all be changed. My mom told me when she was 12 she could have been a prostitute. You ever hear that one? Yeah, she could. She lived in the city. She grew up in a bar. Her mom was a drinker and always was at a bar. My mother, you all know my mom. She says, Rick, the Lord brought me up out of that stuff. I could have been a prostitute as a kid. But God spared her life. Not because of the sins of others did she have to suffer. God was faithful. You know what I mean? God's faithful to carry us through tragedy in our lives. To help us come along. I think of Matt and Amber. Well, they're great kids. They're my grandkids now. Right? And look, and we can share the Lord with them. See, that tragedy doesn't hold us down. It doesn't keep you down. It's not what God's about. If things happen, yeah, things are going to happen. But because of Christ, the righteous one, that was placed on that altar, who was placed on the cross, right? His sacrifice was pure and righteous. Right? And those things are right in it. Deuteronomy 10 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the almighty, awesome God. Does not show particularity. I can't even say it right. Right? And I like this part. It says, and he doesn't take a bribe either. Can't buy your way into heaven. Think of today, what's going on, man. You can pretty much get somewhere if you got a bribe going. No joke. I'm not joking. When you think about it. Do we need to be falling down on our faces for people that are struggling? I mean, we need to pray for one another that we can make it. Because I don't, you know, I'm sure I could mess up around the corner. Right? I need you to pray for me every day. But still, when we see people struggling, do we just dismiss them? Oh, man, swallow them up, God. What's that? No, God, please have mercy. That's what He's showing me I need to do. And I'm the last guy that can do that stuff. Right? Revelations, it says, they shall make war with the Lamb. They're going to fight the Lamb. They're going to fight Christ. They're going to fight the absolute order of God. That's what it says, man. Right? But what does it say? And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords. Don't forget who this guy's about. This thing about Christ is not about us being all perfect. He's the perfect one. He's the righteous one. Right? Quit looking at, you know, ourselves as, you know, oh man. And if you blow it, get out of Christian soul. Get some music on. You know what I mean? Do something. Get your head back in the game. Because I have to do it all the time. Pretty much every day. All right, come on, man. Get me back in the game. Man, I blew that. What was that? Oh, man, where'd that come from? I could be riding, thinking on this and have, boom, where'd that come from? Am I the only one that does that? I can see you're all in the same boat. I can tell. We're all rowing together, aren't we? We're heading towards Christ, man. And if we ain't seeking Him, we ain't seeking nothing. Don't seek peace. Seek Christ. Don't seek righteousness. Seek Christ. I don't care if you leave. I'm almost done anyway. Man, I'm just... More scriptures on who Christ is. I think you guys got my point where I'm going. But how they bowed down. That wasn't the end of all things when tragedy happens in your life. You can pass that on to generations and you'll be writing a psalm or a song about how the Lord lifted you up out of that. Amen. Somehow, someday, every one of us will be able to do that. How He brought you through. And once again, without a doubt, right? It's about a relationship with Christ. It's not about any. I don't care. You won't bother me at all. I'm not offended. Please don't leave. Don't go. No. Sorry, Al. I don't mind at all. We're about done anyway. And I just want to drive home the same point over and over. I chase that all down. I don't know why I was in the Old Testament. But then we end up seeing His mercy in the end Even in that tragedy stuff, we see his great hand at work. 1 Peter, to those who have received as faith of a faith of the same kind as ours, right? By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not about us living up to righteousness. It's not about us doing anything. It's about Christ is our righteousness. I only got one more page and we can wrap it up. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of him. Right? So he's even our great high priest. Right? Melchizedek in the order of Melchizedek. But now here is Christ. He's the great high priest. Right? And then one of my favorite things is that he's constantly an intercessor for you and for me. To God. Right now, he's praying for me. Amen. Rick needs help this morning. Let's get him in gear. Let's get him right. He's always praying for Phil. Always praying for Mike. He's always praying for Mr. Ed, Miss Lillian. He's always intercessor for us. Amen. He's your great high priest. This is the guy that came down who didn't want to be the high priest. He said, I'm not worried about it. He even said, take this cup away from me when he was in the garden. But he did it. The sacrifice that is pure. All right, now I got to read this one too. And then we see, because wisdom, this is a Charles Baker scripture I've heard my whole life. Wisdom that's from above is first pure. Now, what kind of wisdom are you getting these days? What kind of information are you taking in? What are we hearing? And this is how I'm looking at it. Is it pure? Is it then peaceable? Is it easily entreated? Are these things that we're taking in easily? Are these things, you know, is this the information? Are they trying to jam something down your throat? You tell me what you're seeing. I could name 10 things, but we're not going to do that. We're going to stick to the scripture because that's what's going to make it. It makes it reasonable. It's full of mercy. God's full of mercy. Full of mercy. Great, you know, and then so those things go on like that. But I want you to remember that Melchizedek, he served Abraham the wine and the bread as a communion. Christ served his disciples, story in the Bible, right? Even the one he knew was going to betray him. See, here we are, back to that, the heart of Christ. Do I have that heart? Come on, man. Do I have that heart to bow down for somebody that's, you know, just challenging me? Who do you think you are? And I do have a personal challenger that challenges me all the time. Tells me I'm this crazy nut and all this kind of stuff. Well, that part's true. But and he does challenge me on everything I say. I like it. But do I want him consumed or do I want to bow down before him and ask God to spare him? See, that's the point. Because our leaders did it. Moses, Aaron, right? This guy Melchizedek come out of nowhere. That's funny. They say he had no life, no end, no beginning. Right? Christ is the beginning and the end. Right? And we see that. But I got to say it again. Christ did these things because he wants a relationship with us. It's not about a foreign God way off somewhere. Not some guy that won't have anything to do with you. You know. Wow. That's pretty cool. I'm right back to the starting page. I got it out. That's all I know. And I thank you for letting me do it. I do say this is a privilege to me, man. You don't even know. And so now we can move on to the next subject. But you get it. It's clear, right? The world needs help, man. Problems in the church. We need to come together and lift up the name of Christ. And we need to be bowing down before others that are trying to kick us around and saying, God, help them. Because that's their only help. Christ, help them. Point them to the cross. You know, sure, they can look at the nails and they can look at the bronze, but look at the sacrifice. That's all that matters. That pure sacrifice from above. Keep looking to Christ. Without him, I can't make it. And I know he changed my life. And it's hard for me to speak when I got family here because I can't lie. I got to tell the truth. Lord, we thank you this morning that we all can gather here and know that your Spirit's with us. We thank you that you can clear a path and that you're walking hand in hand with us. You've taken us out of captivity. You're leading us to you. Lord, we thank you for all you've already done and all you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.